Can you remember the first time it occurred to you that your son might have substance or behavioral issues?
Both his father and I realized he had behavior issues when he was young. But even though they would flare up from time to time, they didn't seem to be persistent every single day, all the time. So even though we were concerned about them sometimes and wondered, well, why is he doing this? It didn't seem bad enough that we would necessarily seek out, you know, a special doctor or anything like that. But of course, back then, people didn't talk about such things as mood disorders. That just wasn't even on our radar. I don't think I even knew what a mood disorder was. I think things, there was no thinking about it. Things actually got quite a bit worse when he was in his teen years. And that's when I knew he was taking pills, he was, you know, trying all kinds of stuff. And I thought, well, this is odd because neither his dad or I take these things. And, you know, we had always taught him not to, and he had taken DARE, and, you know, ever since he was a little kid and knew not to take drugs. And I was like, so why is he doing this? And of course, kids do experiment, and some people, they just go through a period of experimentation and then it's over. But it didn't seem to be over for him. I mean, this is something that became increasingly something he would resort to. And it took me a long time to figure out the concept of self-medication. You know, why would someone take this stuff, you know? But once I understood that, it made a lot of sense to me, and I could see why. If I were in his situation and had to deal with all these fluctuating moods that he had, I might be very prone to do the same thing, because it seems like you would want to find a way to deal with that. And I think that was a way for him, a mistaken way, to take control of the situation that was always spinning out of control.
Was it depression?
Anxiety, depression, and then we found out he had what's called bipolar now. It used to be called manic depressive, where you have those elevator moods, you know, you're on top of the world one day, and then before you know it, you've descended into the basement, and you have no energy, and, you know. So there were these fluctuations that he would have to deal with, and very much a tendency to be in the moment, very impulsive, you know. So if you make a decision when you're in one mood, you might be making a very different decision if you were in a different mood, you know, so that the mood state influences the type of decisions that you're making. So it's a very unruly condition to have to deal with. It takes a lot of maturity, and it takes time for a person to be able to manage all of that. And actually training, I think, you know, people say, well, if you have this, you have to take meds. Well, that's true. You do need meds. And it might take some experimentation to find the right ones. But you also need counseling, and actually almost like a kind of training to be able to manage this, because it's not going to go away. You're not going to get a cure. All you can do is to try to, you know, accept what you have and deal with it and learn how to manage the roller coaster, which meds will help modulate. But then you still have to, you know how to see when things are shifting, because it's never going to be totally smooth sailing.
Was it a case to where he was self-medicating, but also it was just part of experimentation with his friends, or was he the only one in his peer group that you knew of who
was taking this? He wasn't the only one at all. I mean, I think other kids were experimenting, but I don't know whether they had the same, they probably didn't have the same mood disorder to deal with, or maybe some of them did, but not to the same extent. You know, it's hard to say, but I think he tended to gravitate toward a crowd that would be more open to this type of behavior, because that's where he felt accepted, you know. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't figure out for the longest time, why is he choosing to be with these friends instead of those friends? You know, why is he choosing these people who are always getting into trouble? It's because I think he felt comfortable with those people because they were doing what he was doing. And they were more accepting of that.
Did he get in trouble with the authorities? Did it all just happen at once, or were there tiny incidents here or there? How did that come about?
Separate incidents, and I would say they started in his teen years, and there was a tendency for the incidents to be more serious as time progressed. So the disorder was progressing, and without treatment, of course, you know. And we found out later that that is typical, because if you have a mood disorder, very frequently it will present itself between the ages of 14 and maybe 25, in those teen years and young adult years. And so, unbeknownst to us, this was progressing, you know, right on time. And we didn't understand that, but we could see things were getting worse. And then they reached a kind of crescendo. And that's when we knew, actually, he was court ordered to have a diagnosis, or what do they call it? They call it a mental health review. And that's when he, you know, after an interview process with the psychiatrist and with the family, he was assessed, and it was determined that he did have what they called cyclothymia, which is cycling through different moods. And it could be considered sort of having a prototypical type of bipolar. He didn't use that term, but he said, it doesn't matter what you call it. Here's the phenomenon. And he described it to us very clearly, and it made perfect sense because that's what we were seeing in his behavior.
So the incident that really, I guess, inspired the book, he was caught with a firearm and drugs?
This was later, mm-hmm. Because he did get treatment, and he was following that. But he had still a very sort of rocky road in college where he'd do well. And then he would have periods of time when he was not doing well. And I think it had to do with his adherence to a treatment program and also just the turbulence of being a young adult in college, meeting lots of different kinds of people and just the whole social world and the pressures of doing well in school and all of that. I mean, it's hard for anyone to deal with. But it was very hard for him. And he was in an urban environment. This was in Cincinnati. And so I think, you know, that was part of his having trouble. And then you asked about his arrest here. Mm-hmm. That was following an incident where, once again, he was trying really hard in school, but he was feeling a lot of pressures, and he was starting to self-medicate again and getting into a cycle that I didn't know about at the time, where he was drinking, he was taking who knows what pills, and he had an incident where his behavior was out of control. He had a wanton endangerment charge. He had he was drinking alcohol at the time, but he had somehow acquired a stolen firearm, which he had in his exuberance fired over his head. But nonetheless, his companions got very worried and called the police and thought, you know, what is going on here? This guy's dangerous. And then when his apartment was searched while he was in jail, they found that he had this thriving plantation of marijuana that he was growing in a locked closet. So he had numerous charges against him at that point. He was in jail, and he had sort of lengthy court appearances. And it was eventually decided that he was a good candidate for drug court. And fortunately, that was a diversion that he could have so that he wouldn't have the full brunt of all those charges and have a sentence in jail.